Welcome back. My next guest is Luke Jones, our very own Luke Jones, always doing great things for the community and also for our enjoyment. Luke, welcome in.
Dennis, how are you, my friend? Good to talk to you.
Great to talk to you. Great to see you, my friend. I'm doing well. Lots to talk about, lots to unpack when it comes to the Baltimore Ravens. No shortage of storylines for sure, Luke.
Yeah, no question about it. And I guess we have to begin right at the top. I mean, what matters most at this point in time? And yes, I know people were trying to get excited about Ravens Steelers, the latest renewal of the longtime AFC North rivalry in Pittsburgh. But I think everyone top of mind right now is the health of Lamar Jackson, how long he's going to be out, what that means for the Ravens in the meantime, and what's that going to mean once he gets back. As I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, this is not like, I don't know, take your pick of a more conventional pocket passer over the years where you slap on a knee brace and you say, okay, well, they're going to, you know, they don't really run a whole lot anyway, and we need to make sure we protect. Maybe we use a little more max protect, whatever. It's not that simple. And we know that Lamar Jackson's greatest gift amongst his many gifts is his ability to elude virtually anyone on the football field. So, you know, it's a case where I'm not saying he's going to be out incredibly long, but when you're talking about the reports of a PCL sprain, which can be kind of a tricky knee ligament injury, which, you know, certainly is something that you can talk about as far as stability and not wanting to rush back. But, you know, Lamar, a diminished Lamar, I'm not sure is what's best for any party involved. So I think when you hear the initial reports, I guess Adam Schefter had it earlier in the week saying 1 to 3 weeks, which was kind of in line with some of the, you know, the football doctors online that you see, you know, trying to diagnose injuries, which I appreciate their efforts. I mean, we just don't really know. But you know, that's where for me it feels a little more where I'm not sure you rush them back, and I think you just try to hold down the fort. I think you look at these next two games with Pittsburgh and Cleveland, which on paper certainly look much more like coin flips at this point, if we're just being realistic, with no Lamar Jackson out there. And that's not a knock on Tyler Huntley. I think that's most teams when their starting quarterback goes down, even if you're a really good team. So if you can try to win one of the next two, you know, you go home, you play Atlanta on Christmas Eve, and then at that point, you know, even if Lamar's not ready for that game, you know, you'd still feel better about their chances, but certainly you want to get him at least, you know, back for the last couple weeks of the regular season. One, you need to clinch a playoff spot, preferably the division. I mean, we'll have to see how that goes. Cincinnati's looking really good at the moment. I think we all would admit that watching how they fared against the Chiefs this past Sunday. But, you know, I think it's also a case of clearly Lamar needs to be healthy. If he's not right, then I think it's a moot point. The Ravens aren't doing anything memorable in January anyway. So if you can get him back on the field, try to get this team rolling, see what happens in week 18, whether it's for the AFC North, clinching a playoff spot, who knows? I mean, we're just going to have to see how the next 3-4 weeks play out between the Ravens and the Bengals. But you want to be in a position where if this team's going to make a run, you need to get Lamar and this offense on a roll again. So in the meantime, you really have no choice but to wait it out. You're going to rely even more on your defense, which has kind of been the case anyway. If we're calling a spade and how the offense has been trending, even with Lamar the last several weeks. And you really need to try to get that schemed up running game going, which had looked quite promising before the bye week. But since then, it's really gone in the other direction. So I don't know, Dennis. I mean, we're going to have to see how it plays out. I mean, this is a Pittsburgh team that's playing better. Of late, I think you really go back to week 10 when TJ Watt came back. Their defense has been more formidable. Kenny Pickett is looking better than he had early in the season. That doesn't mean great, but certainly better, certainly functioning at a higher level with that offense than it had been early in the year when it just looked sick. So, you know, the Ravens are going to have to go to Pittsburgh, and it's going to be a tall order to get the job done. Not saying they can't, but I think Vegas has kind of shown you what they think of the current state of the Ravens, as the Ravens went from, you know, a small favorite, but a favorite nonetheless, to being an underdog with the news that it's pretty apparent Lamar Jackson's not going to play on Sunday. So we're just going to have to see how it plays out. But certainly in the meantime, however long Lamar is out, it really is a challenge for the rest of this roster, not just Tyler Huntley, but everyone else beyond Tyler Huntley, needing to step up and playing a better brand of football. Because let's face it, you know, we've been talking about the injury with Lamar. That effort that they put forth against the Denver Broncos on Sunday, just like we were talking about with Carolina a couple weeks ago, those showings aren't beating many teams around the National Football League. So, hey, worked out great. That was the team on your schedule. It works, but certainly a football team that needs to be playing better in all phases than what we've been seeing. You know, it's great to talk about the defense against Denver and Carolina. We saw what happened against it against Jacksonville. So really is a case of John Harbaugh this week and this coaching staff and these players amongst themselves really needing to challenge each other to step up, because certainly when you're missing your best player, regardless of how Lamar or the offense have been playing prior to the injury this past Sunday, they need better. They need better across the board if they're going to navigate these next few weeks and keep themselves in a position where, you know, you're still kind of looking toward that Week 18 showdown with Cincinnati.
Luke, in the National Football League, every game was a big game. Every game was a huge game. This game against the Steelers, to me, is a huge, 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 and I can't even say it enough time, huge game, right? Big difference between being 8-5 and 9-4 at this stage of the season. So they got to go up there. And to me, looking further ahead, even with the Atlanta Falcons, when good teams with a winning record are playing teams that are going nowhere, those teams are extremely dangerous. Those teams will go for two-point conversions. They'll onside kick on you. They'll run flea flickers, fake punts, trick plays, because they have nothing to lose. Case in point was the Jaguars, right? I mean, they got blown out by the Lions last week, but the week before, you know, they're going to go for a two-point conversion at the end of the game, because if they lose to them, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It's another loss. They're supposed to lose. They're underdogs, whereas if you're the Ravens, you're supposed to win. So to me, I don't take for granted that, yeah, whether we beat or lose to Pittsburgh, we're going to automatically somehow beat the Falcons on Christmas Eve. I don't buy that, which to me, you can't even look that far ahead. This is a critical, critical game for the Baltimore Ravens.
It really is. I mean, it's not just the standings, but Dennis, let's face it. Lamar gets hurt 51 weeks after he got hurt last year in Cleveland. Last year in Cleveland, he got hurt on the first play of the second quarter. This time around, he gets hurt on the final play of the first quarter. I mean, it's a little eerie, right? I mean, in terms of the timing. And now, think about it. Even though he didn't get hurt in Pittsburgh last year, that loss, you know, where the Ravens go for two at the very end. Remember, Marlon Humphrey gets hurt. They're out of cornerbacks. Ben Roethlisberger in Pittsburgh, you know, kind of went nuts in the fourth quarter of that game. But that was the game that started their six-game losing streak to close the regular season, where this team went from the number one seed at 8-3 to 8-9 and out of the playoffs entirely. So I think I totally agree with what you just said. It's important because it's important in terms of you'd rather be 9-4 than 8-5. It's important because the Cincinnati Bengals are in a roll and they've won four in a row and they host Cleveland. And certainly they're going to be looking for some revenge after Cleveland was the last team to beat them back on Halloween, which feels like an eternity ago. Yeah, it was a little over a month ago. But I, if you drop this game, and that's not to say you can't go right back to Cleveland and win, and you can't come home and win on Christmas Eve, but I don't care how tough you think your mettle is and how tough your resolve is. You lose that game, you know Lamar is potentially out at least another game after that. I mean, who knows? I mean, you know, we were talking about the ankle injury on a week-to-week basis last year, and he ended up never playing again in 2021. But you lose that game, and suddenly, you know, if the Bengals win, you're a game back in the division then, and you're looking at another trip to Cleveland. And we know how the Browns view the Ravens. Browns, I don't even want to call it a rivalry, but just whenever they meet, you know, for Cleveland fans, that's their Super Bowl. You know, it's really tough to start taking those thoughts out of your head of, here we go again. Is this going to wind up a lot more like last year than we thought? Now, the good thing is your defense is in a much better position than it was at this point last year. The roster is not ravaged with injuries to the same degree. I mean, yes, not having Lamar Jackson, there's no underselling that. You know, there's no sugarcoating that. But at the same time, you know, at this point last year, they had already lost Marlon Humphrey. They had already lost Marcus Peters. You know, go down the list, you know, J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, and go down the list. I mean, they were very much a football team that was diminished. And then when Lamar gets hurt, you kind of looked at it on paper. And I think we all kind of knew that even if they made the playoffs, they weren't doing anything meaningful. You know, so they're in a better position from that front. But if you lose on Sunday, some of those thoughts have to be creeping in your head, and they're going to say no. And I know talking to guys in the locker room this week, they say last year was last year. And I get that, you know, they're going to say all the right things in that regard. And it's real easy to kind of convince yourself that it's not last year. But
or,
then
or
when,
the
if
year,
you're coming
or,
home.
Or the year before, right? So they've lost four straight. You like they said,
oh, sure.
They said they can't hide from that fact. It's a fact. You've lost four games, regardless who your quarterback was, to this franchise.
Yeah. And I mean, from that standpoint, maybe you say, well, Lamar Jackson hasn't exactly played well against the Steelers.
Correct.
So maybe if you want to try to put some kind of weird spin on it, you say, hey, maybe Tyler Huntley can change up their luck. Although Tyler Huntley struggled big time in the finale last year against Pittsburgh.
He did.
So, you know, I mean, there's, as I said, before the Lamar injury, we're looking at this game differently in the sense of not that you expect a blowout, because at this point, to your point, you know, that you made a few moments ago, even talking about Atlanta in a couple weeks, I mean, this team's not blowing anyone out. I mean, it's been, you have to go back to New Orleans. I mean, that feels like it was a blowout. They won by 14 points. You know, we're not seeing those blowouts from 2020 and 2019 anymore. I mean, that's ancient, might as well be ancient history at this point. I think people need to let that go. Just in reality of where this football team is, they're not as, for whatever reason, you know, talk about that talent or how they're playing, they're not as dominant as they were a couple years ago. So,
but
with that in mind,
but you spoke about that ad nauseum, Luke. You know, particularly with Hollywood Brown, you had no problem in them trading Hollywood Brown. Your problem was, and it was correct, that it replaced him. And you and I both said, what happens if Rashad Bateman gets hurt? Because and it's everybody on social media is asking the question, who on the Ravens' offense scares you besides Mark Andrews? And Mark Andrews is not going to stretch the field. He's not going to have an 85-yard touchdown. So we can talk about DeSean Jackson, but there's no A.J. Brown on this team. There's no Stephon Diggs on this team. So the point is, if you're the Steelers, right, who are you? You're going to take away Andrews, and then what?
Yeah, and I think that's probably a reason why we've seen this schemed up running game kind of go the other way after it had really been trending in a good direction prior to the bye. I think opposing defensive coordinators, and let's face it, I mean, we talked about this before the Carolina game. The Panthers' defense is better than its offense, and certainly Denver's defense is dramatically better than its offense. But, you know, even Jacksonville, I mean, that was the team that, you know, we were talking about it before that game that their secondary had been and their pass defense had been very bad. And that was a case where you're thinking, wow, you'd like to think the Ravens can challenge them. And they couldn't until the late shot, you know, to DeSean Jackson. But it's very clear they're not trusting DeSean Jackson to play a whole lot of plays at this point. And why would you? He's 36 years old. You know, his injury history, even at age 26, would suggest that you need to be careful with him. So he's not the answer in that way. And that's where we do look at this thing. And this is where it's a little more sobering. Let's face it. This offense was having issues before Lamar Jackson got hurt. And, you know, we talked about it. I mean, Lamar wasn't playing at his absolute best either. I don't want to make it seem that everything else has been bad and Lamar has been great. I think since the first weeks of the season, him throwing the football has left something to be desired at times. Although at other times, it is the receivers. At other times, it's been the pass protection. Although overall, the offensive line, you know, especially when Ronnie Stanley's been out there, it's been stout. But he's been missing the last couple of weeks. Problem is, all of those issues, if you're trying to talk about the scenario of how the Ravens hold down the fort here, and I'm not even talking winning the next three. Let's say winning two of the next three. And let's say, just for argument's sake, Lamar misses three. You know, let's just say that. Everything that Tyler Huntley, you know, that we're talking about with Tyler Huntley, he's dealing with the same issues Lamar Jackson was dealing with this offense, you know, and a big part of that being the lack of pass catching weapons. You mentioned Mark Andrews. Has Mark Andrews looked like the same dominant top two tight end since dealing with the knee and the shoulder that he was dealing with several weeks ago? No, you know, that doesn't mean he's not their best weapon as a pass catcher, but slim pickings beyond that. So yeah, I mean, that's where you look at this thing, and it's where it is a little more sobering in looking at where this football team is right now. And it's why it's abundantly clear they're going to need to win with their defense leading the way. And again, they've got to get their running game going. I mean, you know, another individual, I mentioned Mark Andrews, Gus Edwards hasn't looked like the same guy since coming back from the hamstring, whereas for those first couple games back, it looked pretty good. However, as we've talked about over and over and over again with these guys coming back from major injuries, and specifically talking about an ACL, you go and do some sports, you know, sports medicine type research, it's not uncommon to see, you know, someone who has an ACL to have hamstring and other leg issues related to that, because, you know, it's just your body went through such trauma to that leg, to that area that, you know, sometimes you're going to have some of those issues. So, you know, I don't want everyone listening right now to think that it's all doom and gloom, but I mean, we also can't sit here and just say everything is totally fine either. You know? So they did win on Sunday. That was the good news. But as I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, ultimately, we're going to have to just see how these next few weeks play out because, you know, you beat the Denver Broncos 10-9, but you lose Lamar Jackson in the process. And when is he going to come back? What is he going to look like when he comes back? What is this offense? You know, what is the state of this offense going to be whenever he gets back on the field? You know, those are a lot of questions. And as much as I really do like Tyler Huntley, I want to be very clear about that. I think he's one of the absolute best backup quarterbacks in the NFL. I think even on Sunday, yes, high completion percentage, but we saw he doesn't push the ball down the field. You look at the yards per attempt, and this goes back to last year. Hey, how much of that is the state of the wide receiver group and all that? I'll buy that. But even last year, when he did have Marquise Brown, he did have Rashad Bateman, he still tends to kind of dink and dunk underneath, which, you know, if you have great yak guys, that could work. But, you know, I'm not sure, you know, who you're pointing to for the Ravens that is really going to fit that need. I mean, again, maybe DeSean Jackson, Devin Duvernay at times, although I feel like Duvernay's biggest success at this point has been more so when he's carrying the football. So, you know, we're just going to have to see how it plays out. And, you know, you hope, you know, J.K. Dobbins, whether it's this week or next week, you know, he's practicing. You're hoping that that knee scope did wonders for his range of motion. But can you expect that? I don't know, right? I mean, we're talking about another knee surgery for someone who had a major injury. So you just kind of look at it across the board and you say, all right, it truly is week to week, as you mentioned a few minutes ago. And I think that was spot on. Forget about Cincinnati. Forget about Cleveland. You know, forget about Atlanta. Even I don't think they're looking ahead to the Falcons, really. I think, but your point is, don't assume anything.
No, absolutely
you
not.
You have to find a way to try to score one more point than the Pittsburgh Steelers on Sunday, and they certainly can do that. But it looks much more like a coin flip kind of scenario than it would have a week ago when we were talking at this time before Lamar Jackson gets hurt. So, you know, ultimately, we're going to see what this team has underneath the hood. We've talked about that a lot this year, talking about some of the late losses and different things that have happened. And, you know, we've talked a lot about injuries the last couple of years. This is the latest test for this Baltimore Ravens team. And, you know, if they're meant to do something meaningful, if they're meant to have a run in January, first of all, make the playoffs and then have a chance to do something, well, then you're going to figure out a way to weather the storm here. You know, this is not, would not be the first playoff team that's lost their quarterback for a couple weeks at some point, even late in the season. So can you figure out a way to, you know, at least win one of the next two, let's say, and then you come home and you face Atlanta on Christmas Eve. If you can navigate that and then see where Lamar's health is at that point, I would say that the Ravens are still in pretty good shape at that point.
Luke, couple of things here. First and foremost, injuries. You brought up J.K. Dobbins. We've seen that Ronnie Stanley's practicing this week. Any updates on Marcus Williams? I think he will do wonders for that defense and that secondary. They can certainly use his talents back there.
Yeah, I mean, he's practicing once again this week. He's been practicing for about 2 weeks now. You know, as of last week, he still hadn't been cleared for contact. You know, he's wearing a splint hard brace. You know, I don't know if it'll end up being a soft cast on his left wrist. So, you know, that's still a consideration here. And even, you know, to the point you made as far as the impact he can make on the back end, well, a ball hawk needs to have healthy hands and wrists, right, to catch the football. Now, you still like him in coverage, but if right. You're talking about making some of those game-changing plays that we know turnovers are and that the Ravens have had success forcing this year, that's the question. You know, John Harbaugh said last week that this week was more relevant for Marcus Williams in terms of having a chance to go. We'll have to see how it plays out. I did see, you know, Marlon Humphrey. I try not to follow players' Instagrams too often because it's just, you know, it ends up being a lot of stuff that I'm too old to even get. But I did see a little video of him and Marcus Williams in the weight room. And Marcus Williams still had like a big, you know, it was kind of a big splint going from, you know, not too far from his elbow up to his hand. So he's, like I said, he's been on the practice field for a couple weeks. You know, I think he's in good shape. I think all those factors are trending in the right direction, and he's going to play again this year. I just don't know for sure if it's going to be Sunday or if it might be the week after that. So, you know, I think the good news in that regard is you are talking about a Pittsburgh offense that hasn't exactly been lighting up the scoreboard, throwing the ball through the air. Pickett has looked better, but still they're not asking him to do a ton. It's really been their running game getting going here over the last 4 or 5 weeks. And the good news on that front is, say what you want about the Ravens pass defense, but they've been shutting down the run for quite some time now, and you know, kind of getting back to what Ravens defenses, you know, what you come to expect of Ravens defenses in that way. So that probably, you know, that lends itself to being better for these next couple games, talking about both Pittsburgh and Cleveland with the way that they like to run the football. But Marcus Williams, still a little bit of question there. You mentioned Ronnie Stanley. He practiced fully on Wednesday, so that was a good sign.
He did practice. Good sign.
He practiced some last week as well, you know, although that was much more limited. So I would say there's probably a pretty good chance of seeing Ronnie Stanley back on the field, which would be big, especially knowing that Patrick McCary dealing with that toe and, you know, seeing that rotation between him and Daniel Faalele against the Broncos certainly wasn't ideal. So, you know, definitely getting Stanley back would help. And I know that would be something that Tyler Huntley would very much like as he prepares to make his first start of the season on Sunday.
Well, if Ronnie Stanley's playing against the Broncos, perhaps Lamar Jackson is still upright this week. I mean, there's just no other way of saying it. Faalele playing grossly out of position. You're talking about a Orlando Brown type of a guy who doesn't have the feet to play left tackle. He was just a turnstile, but Ronnie Stanley, such a big part of the offense. Look, I think Sunday's game comes down to which team will run the ball better and which team turns the ball over less. Both defenses are outstanding. Roquan Smith, he's been tremendous for the Ravens. Teams that are, when they get into third and short, fourth and short situation, they're having a very difficult time. And it's just not Roquan. You've got Calais Campbell up there and Madubuike and Travis Jones, and it just goes on and on. They have a lot of talent. So this is going to be a typical slugfest between the Ravens and the Steelers. I expect nothing less.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, it's definitely strange because, you know, it doesn't have the star power. I mean,
no
Ben Roethlisberger, no Lamar Jackson, not even, you know, think back to the years of Joe Flacco. And I looked at this, Dennis, and I'm including this in my 12 Ravens thoughts at BaltimorePositive.com, where, you know, you kind of look at where this rivalry is right now at the moment. And I think this was true to a degree, even with Lamar on the field, because until Kenny Pickett proves that he's a legit franchise quarterback for Pittsburgh, I think this rivalry is, you know, not going to be in the national spotlight as the way we've been accustomed to seeing it. But there have been a handful of games over the last few years, you know, not few, over the last 20 years, where that we've seen a matchup of lesser quarterbacks. You know, there've been a handful. Go back to 2019, Lamar sat in the final game of the season, and it was RG3 against Duck Hodges, for that week 17 game that didn't mean anything for the Ravens that they ended up winning anyway. But for a game in Pittsburgh, you have to go back to 2003 for a game played between the Ravens and the Steelers in Pittsburgh that did not involve Ben Roethlisberger, Lamar Jackson, or Joe Flacco. And in that 03, it was that 03 opener. It was Tommy Maddox against Kyle Bowler in his first NFL start. I mean, that's how long. You're talking 19 years that you have to go back for the people in Pittsburgh to see a Ravens-Steelers game that did not involve Ben Roethlisberger, Joe Flacco, or Lamar Jackson.
That's insane.
You know, you're talking about a Hall of Fame quarterback there, a Super Bowl MVP, and an NFL MVP. You know, when you're talking about it, let's face it. I mean, nothing against Tyler Huntley or Kenny Pickett, but they're not any of those guys in terms of prestige and acclaim at this point. So you can understand why this game wasn't flexed in the prime time. I think that much is clear. Oh, so
for sure.
But at the same time, we've seen plenty of Ravens Steelers games, and I think we even mentioned this a couple weeks ago in passing at some point. I think back to Charlie Batch in Baltimore. I think back to Ryan Mallett beating the Steelers in a game that, you know what, he had been with the organization for about 10 days and Pittsburgh was trying to clinch a playoff spot at that point in time. So that is not to say that we won't see a good game on Sunday. And I think what you said in terms of these teams running the football, and I think really, it really will come down to these teams playing defense and who can make a more game-changing play. I think it's not a secret that Pittsburgh defense didn't look the same earlier in the year with TJ Watt being out, sure. But since he returned in week 10, looking at the numbers, Pittsburgh, and I'm going to give you a nerdy stat here, Football Outsiders with DVOA, the efficiency metric, going back to week 10, Pittsburgh 7th in the league in defense. So,
no surprise.
You know, kind of speaks to they're looking much more like what you would expect a Pittsburgh defense to look like, and they've been better in general. So, hey, surprise, the defensive player of the year matters being on the field, right? So shouldn't be a big shock there, but that's where we look at this thing. Even before Lamar got hurt and looking at this thing and for the Ravens, that you know, even before the injury, no expectation that you're just going to show up, roll the ball out out in Pittsburgh at the place formerly known as Heinz Field, and expect to win if you're not going to play a good football game. So, you know, that's going to be the challenge, and we'll see how it plays out. I certainly don't expect to see a ton of points from either side in Sunday's game. That much I feel pretty confident about, which probably means it'll end up being a shootout then, Dennis, because what do I know?
we never know how these things are going to fold, Luke, but I do like one thing here. I do like the redemptive fact, the redemptive factor that it presents in Tyler Huntley, in the sense that he was 1-3 last year, right? Lost one score games, which most games in NFL are one score games, let's face it. But the defense, there was nobody back there. Everybody was hurt. And football is such a complimentary game. I'd like to see him, what he does with the weeks full of practice. Not saying he's going to be the second coming, not saying at all that he's better than Lamar Jackson, but I do think I'm liking the chance he's getting at redemption for himself.
Yeah, no question. I mean, let's face it, even though we're talking about Pittsburgh being better than they've been earlier in the season, I mean, this is not the Steelers of 3, 4, 5, 6 years ago, where they were competing, you know, one of those teams competing to be in the AFC Championship. I mean, this is very much a team that is in not a full-blown rebuild, because their defense is still very talented, but they're certainly in transition. I mean, my goodness, how could they not be going from Ben Roethlisberger in a Hall of Fame career to Kenny Pickett, who, you know, again, has had, you know, some improvement over the last 3-4 weeks, but you still look at his numbers. I mean, 4 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. I mean, he's a rookie, you know, and he certainly looked like a rookie. Now, he's not looking like a rookie as constantly over the last few weeks. And like I said, he's managing the game better, making a few more plays here and there, looking more comfortable, not turning the ball over nearly as much over the last 3-4 games, but he's still a rookie. And this is his first time going up against the Baltimore Ravens defense. So that's where, to your point, you know, Tyler Huntley did get that experience of starting in week 18 last year against this Pittsburgh defense. So we'll see how he fares on that front. Again, you'd love for him to have a couple more weapons around him to make his job easier, but it's where the Ravens are right now. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that. I opine that we're going to be talking about that a ton once the season does come to an end, whenever that happens. But you know, it really is an opportunity where you do have a backup quarterback who still has, you know, when you consider the last 2 years of practice time, especially, more experience than Pittsburgh's starter right now. So from that standpoint, you're hoping Huntley can go out and play a clean game, you know, run around a little bit. I'm guessing you're going to see that, probably run around a lot.
With TJ Watt on the other side, he'll be on his rollerblades early and often.
Exactly, but that's not a bad thing. You know, that's whoever it is, Lamar or Huntley at this point, the state of this current offense, that's why we said you can't rush Lamar back, because you need Lamar's legs, you know, whenever he's back out there, even if he has to sit out an extra week or so to do that. But, you know, you're hoping Huntley can do that. You're hoping you can get the running game going. Again, it has been a better Pittsburgh defense, so that's easier said than done. But I still think, you know, you look at this game, Ravens still certainly have a chance to go in there and get a win. And it's going to really test this team's mettle. As I mentioned, you know, you want to see some mental toughness to come out and say, okay, we don't have Lamar, no problem. You know, we can get the job done here. You can see that these guys have a confidence level in Tyler Huntley that you typically wouldn't see in a backup. You know, I think you saw that even in the aftermath of Sunday's win over Denver, how happy they were for him and how he scored the game winning touchdown. But again, talking about a backup compared to a former NFL MVP, of course there's going to be drop off. And of course, you know, that's why I kind of laugh when I see, you know, some people try to, you know, some of Lamar's bigger critics try to say, well, Tyler Huntley's, you know, just as good, or maybe he's better. And there's just nothing statistically to prove that, other than if you want to cherry pick, you know, like completion percentage on Sunday, never mind the yards per attempt and all that. But people are going to, you know, people are frustrated. I get that. I certainly get that with where this team is, and that feeling of deja vu that I wrote about at BaltimorePositive.com after Sunday's game. But you know, we'll see how it plays out. And certainly this is a matchup that you have two teams that want to run the football, two teams that want to play really good defense. So you know, We'll see how it plays out. And we've seen 13 to 10, 16 to 13, 17, 14 Ravens Steelers games plenty of times in the past. And again, that's why I'm fully expecting to see something like that. And then it'll come down to who makes more plays in crunch time in the fourth quarter. And that's where you do lay down the challenge for this defense and say, hey, all right, numbers are looking better. And you guys have, you shut down Carolina, you shut down Denver. Well, then you need to shut down the Pittsburgh Steelers in the fourth quarter. So
don't let them score. The nice thing about this matchup, Luke, is that both teams think they can win, right? The Steelers think they can win. Ravens think they can win. And I was telling somebody Sunday, I'd rather see a 10-9 game than 37-0. I love competition. As frustrating as the Ravens are, right, they're still, for me, it's what it's all about. Anytime a game comes down to the last couple of plays, game-winning drive, et cetera, field goal, that's exciting. That's what I pay good money to see.
Yeah, and I think that's where, as frustrating as the current state of the Ravens is, for obvious reasons, even reasons we were talking about before Lamar hurts his knee, there's still the matter of, even those issues are still going to be there. And as I mentioned, even talking about the lack of playmakers, we're going to be talking about that. Whether this season ends in week 18 and the Ravens don't make the playoffs, which even with Lamar's injury, I still think they're going to make the playoffs. But whenever it ends, whether it's wild card weekend, divisional round, even if this team figures out a way to go to the Super Bowl, which I'm not holding my breath on, but we've seen stranger things happen. We're going to be talking about playmakers and the state of this roster and Lamar's contract and everything after that. Probably, maybe not as much if they do win the Super Bowl somehow or go to the Super Bowl, but let's just say, for argument's sake, they don't do that. And the range is somewhere between missing the playoffs and getting knocked out in the divisional round, let's say. We'll have all offseason to talk about what's going to happen on the coaching front, Greg Roman, other staffers, whatever. What's going to happen with Lamar's contract and franchise tag versus long-term deal? Is there going to be a holdout? Is Lamar going to – I mean, I was talking with someone yesterday, someone else in the media. Who knows what's going to happen? At this point, would I be surprised that Lamar Jackson would request a trade even? I don't know. Like, I have no idea. I really have no idea because we've talked about this all along. But I'm getting off track here, going off on a tangent.
Oh, that's a whole different show. I've avoided talking about that because we're up against the clock and it's a whole –
Right, exactly.
That's another 45 minutes.
But to finish off the point you were making, the Ravens have – They're 8-4. They have five games
left. They're not 4-8.
We know that they're
4-8.
Yeah, they're 8-4. They're five games left. I have just as many concerns as anyone in the big picture is all those different things. Greg Roman, Lamar, weapons, wide receiver, whatever. But let it play out. See what happens over the next few weeks. See if Tyler Huntley and the rest of the Ravens, that aren't Lamar Jackson, can hold down the fort for however long he's out, a game, two games, three games, whatever. He comes back. See what he looks like. See if you can get on a roll. See what happens in week 18 against the Bengals. And then we can talk about all of those things. And we'll continue to talk about it anyway. I mean, you and I have, but you have to let it play out. I mean, there's no light switch here. There's no just easy button you can push that's going to fix all the different things we talked about. That's why I said in the meantime, you need your defense to step up. And I will say, because we've seen it at different points this year, they have to get the schemed up running game going. You cannot expect Tyler Huntley to get the job done if you're going to struggle to average 4 yards a carry. I mean, this needs to be a more dynamic running game, as we've seen it look at different times this year, even if it's been fleeting. So if you can get those two things over the next couple of weeks, I feel very good about their chances of winning at least one of the next two. And then I think, at that point, you're starting to talk about, okay, is Lamar ready to come back? And what does that look like? So really just have to see it play out, and it's easy to have a knee-jerk reaction. And I understand the frustration. I do. We've talked about a lot of these issues that we continue to talk about for a long time, but really see how it plays out. Again, even without Lamar Jackson, the Steelers aren't a juggernaut. Cleveland's not a juggernaut. Atlanta's certainly not a juggernaut when you're playing at home against them. So if they go 3-0, awesome. If they go 2-1, I think they're totally fine. Less than that, okay, we might have some problems we're talking about, but it's just where they are right now, and that's where it's just a matter of seeing this thing play out and feel good about the fact that they at least do have a guy who's regarded as one of the better backup quarterbacks in the NFL in Tyler Huntley.
Well said, Luke, as always. Please tell our listeners where they can find you on social media, WNST, Baltimore Positive, as well as your fantastic blog.
Absolutely. I encourage everyone to follow us on Twitter at WNST. You can follow me personally at Baltimore Luke, because I'll be making a trip to Pittsburgh as the Ravens try to improve to 9-4 against the hated Pittsburgh Steelers. Check out my blog at BaltimorePositive.com, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. My latest 12 Ravens thoughts, final injury report, predictions for Sunday, as well as plenty of other thoughts on the Ravens. Probably try to mix in some Orioles talk as well, as we talk about the hot stove or lack thereof for the Orioles at this point. But you want to be on the WNST Baltimore Positive text service, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. Final injury report, game day inactives, any significant roster news, any significant injury updates, any of that sent directly to your mobile device via the WNST Baltimore Positive text service, sponsored by Coons Ford of Baltimore. And of course, anything throughout the week on AM 1570 with Nestor. Ravens players and coaches sound from Owings Mills. Check out all of that at BaltimorePositive.com.
All right, my friend. Always fun, always informative. Stay well, have a safe trip up there in Pittsburgh, and bring us back a victory.
Sounds good, Dennis. We'll reconvene next week, and we'll probably be talking about a lot of the same issues. It'll just be a matter of whether the Ravens are 9-4 or 8-5, and then the panic will be raised a little bit at that point.
Right.
But we'll see how it plays out. I expect a close game regardless.
Could be 8-4-1. You never know.
I guess so. Hey, Washington and the Giants, it happens.
Never know. All right, my friends.
I hope not.
I hope not either. Stay well. There he goes, Luke Jones here, 1570 AM. WNST. We'll take a quick break and come back right after this.